Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Jyothy Labs, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhuwania from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's our pleasure at ISEC to host Q1 FY24 results conference call for Jyothy Labs Limited. From the management, we have Ms. M.R. Jyothy, Managing Director, and Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer. Now I'll hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Agarwal for his opening remarks, and then we can open the line for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Karan. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the conference call of Jyothy Labs to discuss the financial performance for Q1 FY24. The results and the investor presentations are already available on the stock exchanges as well as on our company's website. I hope you all had a chance to look at it. In brief summary, on the business environment front, we have observed relatively stable demand across our product portfolio with moderating input costs. There have been successive price increases, which did impact or has impacted the sales volume. However, our product portfolio is more essentials and well-diversified day-to-day household consumption, so we have witnessed moderate growth. This is reflected in our overall performance in our revenue growth of 15%, the breakup of which is volume growth of 9% and value growth of 6%. With a healthy debt-free balance sheet, we've delivered a consistent double-digit revenue growth now for the last few years and rise in our brand market share. For this quarter, we have achieved sales of rupees 687 crores, an increase of 15.1% growth. As input cost inflation has moderated and with our several cost optimization programs, our gross margins have scaled back at 47.9% versus 39.9% at the same period last year. Similarly, at the EBITDA level for the quarter, it stood at 17.1% versus 10% at the same period last year, thereby an increase of 95%, and our net profit also grew over 100% same period last year. In specific, our consumer franchise is getting stronger by every quarter, and we've been consistently being able to strengthen our market share across our brand categories. And as you would have seen, all our segments have reported stable double-digit growth. In terms of the key categories performance, fabric care is doing well with 18.1% growth this quarter. The segment has seen improvement in sales across all our brands. Our expanded distribution has helped us to accelerate sales of detergent powder brands on a pan-India basis. We are focusing both on the premium segment as well as on the value offerings in this category, and the strategy is to build scale across our brands. In specific, Ujala detergent powder, we have launched a new TVC featuring superstar Manju Warrier. Also, we have been associated with some high-impact properties like Bigg Boss Kerala. Also launched the Ujala liquid detergent front load variant to strengthen our portfolio in this category. Similarly, in Henko, we released a new campaign featuring superstar Kajal Agarwal, and we are also witnessing good healthy growth in performance of the liquid detergents. In dishwash category, both Exo and Pril continue to do well with a 10.6% growth for this quarter. Since this category has significant growth potential due to under-penetration, we are leveraging on the rural growth in the bars category and focusing on consumers seeking larger packs in dishwash liquid category. In HI segment, our sales increased by 10.1% for the quarter. This recovery is aided with better season and emphasis on distribution, and also enhanced media support done by us in the key markets. We are focused on growing saliency of the liquid vaporizer and also promoting coils as a safer option for illegal incense sticks. Finally, our personal care portfolio, which is primarily Margo franchise, we have registered an impressive growth of 21%. Our ATL Investments campaign featuring Rashi Khanna propagating Margo as an achhi aadat, a good habit, is helping the brand. As you all know, we spoke in the last call as well, we are leveraging the Margo brand equity. We introduced 3 new variants of Margo in rose, lemon and jasmine, where we have seen good initial response. This will further help in building scale for us with the larger offerings in the toilet soap category. In summary, we will continue to focus on volume-led growth and achieve higher scale of business operations. We have consistently delivered now double-digit revenue growth for the last few years and expanding profitability matrices. We will strive to build scale with our relentless execution and grow our brand's market share. We are working towards a sales growth trajectory for FY23-24 on an annual basis to be at double-digit growth, primarily led by volume. Similarly, on the margin front, with signs of softening commodity prices, we would aim to hold on to our historic EBITDA margin level of 15% to 16% on an annual basis. With this, I finish my opening remarks, and we are happy to answer any questions or clarifications you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Vishal Gutka from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi team, congratulations on excellent set of numbers. Three questions from my side. First is on the HI segment, the losses have doubled up out over there. So is it due to higher A&P spend? What has exactly gone, if you can throw more light on it? Second is on overall ad spend, given the context, given that World Cup is coming up and elections are there, and we are also under invest, we are also planning to increase our A&P spends. So how do you look at the ad rates going forward? That's the second question. And third question, sir, would be really helpful if you can give more color on two brands, such as Mr. More Light and Mr. White. Exactly what is going on in those brands, because those seem to have scaled up in a very meaningful manner. That's it. All the best. Thank you.
So Vishal, on the HI side of it, the loss, as you know, the category had a degrowth last year, and we have recovered a bit on that, but still it has to come back to its earlier growth plans. So we'll have to live with it for some time, I guess. And this quarter we had an additional or increased media spend, which I just spoke. We wanted to give more support to the market, and hence you're seeing the loss number there at the EBIT level. On the A&P, the numbers have been at around 7 to 8% of our top line, and we would not shy away from, we have been increasing our media spends over the last few years, and we'll continue to work on that. And we're not, anything specific on these properties or World Cup and all, obviously we can't comment to you now.
Okay. The rates are likely to go up. That is the reason I'm asking, because I understand that you might not be publishing on this platform, but the rates overall, like, because the inventory will be lower, so ad rates are likely to go up. I'm just asking in that context.
Sure, sir. And on your specific questions on some of the brands in fabric care, Vishal, all the brands have been doing well for us, whether it is at the premium end or at the mass offerings, and backed by distribution, backed by the increased media support we have been giving. So all of them have been doing fine for now.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand, see, we have the segment sales growth with us. You, of course, don't publish the segment volume growth, and I'm not exactly asking for that. But if you could give some color on where the which segments have seen a volume growth which is higher than the overall company average, and which are the segments which are lower than the overall company average, that will sort of help us understand the structure of your growth.
Yeah, so Percy, as you said, we do not give, and it's not required to, you know, get into that level of granularity. You can be rest assured all the categories have a positive volume growth as well.
Okay. Secondly, just wanted to understand the Margo top line growth of 21%. Again, not asking for exact numbers, but any color or flavor you can give in terms of what would the growth have been? I mean, what is the contribution of these three new variants in this growth that you have? What I'm trying to understand is that whenever there's a new launch, there is a pipeline fill that happens. So just wanted to understand that if I account for that, what is the sustainable growth number that I should be building in from a end consumer demand point of view?
Yeah, so Percy, the growth on Margo has been really good for us, and most of it has come by the original name, which is the original soap that we have. The variant has just gone into the market from April onwards, so it's still connecting at many places. Not much of a contribution from that. It's mainly the main soap that is doing well.
Understood. And the main soap is doing well. What is the reason for that? Is it geographic expansion, or is it within the existing geographies they are gaining market share? What is really happening there for the main variant?
Yeah, it is supported by a very good season, as in the summers are the ones which usually are good for this segment of soap. And yes, increase in distribution also has helped, and a little more of rural penetration has definitely helped.
Understood. And just wanted to get a sense on the margins. You have reported 17.1% margins excluding the other income, which is a significant jump over 4Q, which was 14.8. So is it that you are lagging the general industry in terms of price cuts, or you have sort of taken price cuts in line with other competitors in terms of timing? And therefore, this margin, I mean, there is no reason for us to believe that it will sort of go down in future.
So, Percy, we also taken price cuts in line with the requirements of the market, most of the competitive actions. So, we have also done that. As I said in the opening remarks, we would, on an annual basis, look at our margin, EBITDA margins, to be in the historical range of 15% to 16%. So that is where we are. So these things will happen, where price cuts will happen. Raw material prices have also come off from their peaks, but they are still at the elevated levels from, say, March 20 levels. So factoring all of that, we believe our aim would be to at least be in the historical range of 15% to 16%.
Right, sir. And last question, if I might be permitted. You have done a 9% kind of volume growth this quarter. As far as I know, the base is normal. Are we gunning for the same kind of volume growth for the remaining quarters?
Percy, difficult to give you a breakup. But as I said, when we look at double-digit growth on a full-year basis, it will be more volume-led. Because as you know, the pricing growth, what we have seen now, price growth will start tapering off as we move along.
Okay. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thanks, Percy.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on good set of numbers and thanks for the opportunity. First, on market share gain, you called out that we have gained market share in most of the categories. If you can give some category-level insight where the market share gain would have been higher and where it would have been relatively lower in our portfolio.
Tejas, across our brands, we have done fairly, as you know, the growth numbers have been double-digit and more. And hence, across brands, things have been stable for us and doing well. So that's where we are.
And are we gaining this market share from smaller regional players or from national players as well?
See, we are doing well. And as you mentioned earlier, it's all backed by distribution and our continuous focus on brand investment, which is helping us connecting well with the consumers. And all our brands have been recognized and appreciated in that manner. So we continue that path. With that growth mindset, it is important to keep investing behind the brand, both in terms of distribution and media investment, and we'll continue to do that.
Yeah. So on that distribution front, do we have any target or vision for near term or for medium term in terms of where do we want this number to look like in 2-3 years?
So March 23, we have reported we are reaching out to 1.1 million retail outlets. We'll continuously do that. We do not give any numbers specific where we want to reach, but it should be adequate to fill in our aspirational goals. And we are on that track, and we'll continue to do that.
Sure. And last, not pertaining to results, but one distinct feature of our supply chain has been our 20+ manufacturing plants, which actually, when I compare, it is higher than some of the regulated sectors like liquor and all. So, just wanted to understand what's the thought process there. Are we kind of thinking about consolidating this footprint, or we are actually going with the nano factory understanding and we want to be closer to the markets? Just wanted to understand broader thoughts over here.
So it has been our endeavor to have factories closer to our markets, and historically we have operated in that manner. It helps us in a lot of ways, as you would understand, both in terms of supply chain and getting the production just in time, and de-risking our business model. So we continuously keep evaluating how we can consolidate more operations. But as we speak, the 22 factories, they are operating at 70% capacity, and we keep modernizing units as and when opportunity are there. But no specific plant we are putting with as all the features which you mentioned for now.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, three questions. First is, we have seen the weather being extremely erratic, especially...
Abneesh, we can't hear you. Can you speak louder?
Mr. Roy, use your handset mode, please.
Yeah. Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, sure. I have three questions. So first is, of course, the weather has been very erratic. So in terms of, say, either floods in North India or, say, Bihar, one of your key markets, we have seen very high deficit this year also till now and last year also. So would you be concerned that in Q2 and possibly even Q3, there could be impact because of these developments, either in terms of manufacturing or in terms of distribution and demand?
The answer is a big no. There's nothing which we can perceive as we speak.
You're not seeing an impact?
No, nothing on the supply chain or on our manufacturing plants. Yes, the rains have been very heavy. It do impact temporarily something, but in movement of people and movement of goods, but on an overall basis, we are fine.
So my question was also on demand side. How do you see? Because clearly these are agri-focused states of Bihar, UP, etc., and North India also. So my question was more on demand, not just on manufacturing. I do understand you will have enough inventory and essentially it's not that completely things are on standstill. In terms of demand, would you be worried? Because two back-to-back years, UP, Bihar, there is a deficit.
So, Amish, we haven't got that alarming situation from any of our sales teams, and we continue to do well as per our plans in these markets as well.
Your second question is on your market share data which you have shared in terms of detergent. I wanted to understand this 18% which you have mentioned. In fact, 21.9% value market share Ujala detergent. This is for which market?
That is only for the state of Kerala.
Okay, slide 14. Okay, got it. And one follow-up question on overall what other questions were on your soaps and detergent. We have seen that in the lower end and the mid end, the competition has come back. So we have seen the market leader saw much lesser margin expansion and volume growth was also lower. So could you comment on regional players, how they are coming back in the value end in both soaps and detergent, and how you have been able to do much better than the market leader? So if you could explain that.
Yeah, so we have gained mainly through distribution and primarily, and also the quality of our products are far better than the ones that they get in the market, and hence we are able to get repeat orders from consumers and retailers as well.
Right. And last question on HI, when you see the 2-year CAGR and 3-year CAGR, both are negative. And now the market leader has also come out with the LUP at 35 rupee and 50 rupee, and they are more aggressive than the past. What would be your game plan here? Obviously, profitability has been a key issue, but of course, you have been trying to ramp up the market share in the core electricals also. So if you could tell us what would be the game plan now, given that the market leader is now more aggressive than the last 5 years?
So, Vish, no comments on that. We will be working on our plans, and this category has seen some challenges. I think as an industry, we are working towards finding some solutions around that to benefit the consumers. So we'll stay put on that.
Okay. Question was on the company also. So when you see the 2-year CAGR of minus 17 and 3-year of minus 8, of course, there was a COVID-related impact also in the base. So what is the reason for the decline?
So, Amnish, as you know, in the HI category, last year has been a challenge, and the year before also, because of the illegal incense sticks and because of the season not being so favorable for us, which are in the stronger markets of ours, which is North and East, and hence we had seen a decline in the last year on the HI category. This year, marginally, it has been better. We hope the rest of the year and the next years, the category sees far better growth. As you know, we are focusing on more on the LV side of it to get our profitability also in shape. So those have been our strategy, and we will work through that.
Okay. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Tanish Shah, an investor. Mr. Tanish Shah, please go ahead with your question. We move on to the next question from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. My first question was on the distribution and expansion. So if you look at the number of in terms of million outlets and direct reach, we've been at about 1.1 million. Incrementally this year and the next, what's the game plan here? Is the game plan only about a higher throughput per store, or will numeric reach also go up? And if yes, then, are there any micro markets that we are looking to, target here? So just wanted some more details on how we are kind of going about the distribution strategy over the next 2 years.
Yeah. So we've been growing our direct reach since last few years, and it would be almost the same momentum that we'll go on. We've increased the lack of outlets last year, and we would continue to do so for the next 2 years. And it has been both from a throughput per store and also these increased outlets that are giving us the growth.
Okay, so about 100,000 a year is still the trajectory you are expecting for the next 2 years.
That has been our average, yes.
Okay, understood. Next question was on margins. So if you look at, this year will be year of normalization. You'll hit 15% to 16%, as you said, targeted range. But if I look at beyond F24, how do you think about, profitability? Is it kind of, steady margin expansion post achieving this normalized number, or is it, just revenue-led growth with margins being in a similar band? I mean, how are you thinking of that mark?
So, objective, any growing company would aim for higher numbers than in the past. And with the effort what we are putting, we would also aim for the same. But sitting now, we all know where our margins pain we had all seen in the last 1.5 years. At the same time last year, we had margins fallen down right up to 10%. And now we've seen the recovery back to 70-odd%. So let us stay put here. Let us at least get the stabilized numbers on a largest top line growth in EBITDA range of 15-16%. And then any incremental numbers, as we said in the past also, we'd like to reinvest into brands, media spends to get much more stable growth in the future. So that would be our game plan for medium term or long term.
Got it, Sanjay. And now that you have got this kind of pool of higher gross margin, does the innovation intensity also is expected to increase from here? Because last 2 years were challenging on cost, so one had to keep an eye on that as well. But incrementally, does innovation intensity increase in the next, say, 12 to 24 months, given that now gross margins are also normalizing?
Yeah, we have a set of innovations and extensions ready. But having said that, we'll still be very, calculative and, go about launches very carefully, which will be backed by investments on media as well. So we will pick and choose which innovations to be launched, depending on the situation.
Perfect. And one last bookkeeping, if I may, is there any one-off in the other income number for the quarter?
Yes, Harit. Like last time, we had a sale of one of our properties, which around 9-ish-odd crores. Similar this quarter also, we have a sale of land at one of the plants, and that is also around 9 crores.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Sumil Sethi from SG India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. So just wanted to understand which category has driven the most growth in fabric care. So understand that fabric care has grown by 18%. Just wanted to get a sense on if the entire portfolio has grown at a similar rate, or is there any category that is standing out?
Yes, it has been across all the brands have done well. Can't call out any particular brand or category in that. All the premium, all the 4-5 brands have done fairly well in this category.
Understood.
You're through with your question, Mr. Sethi?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mansi Patel from Both Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, congrats on the good set of numbers and thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first question is regarding the market share of Henko. If you could just help me understand how the market share performance has been for Henko over the past 5 to 10 years.
So we've been doing well. We don't have market share numbers for that, but our internal sales have been growing, and our premium offerings under Henko, be it detergent powders, bars, or liquids, have been on a healthy growth, double-digit growth.
Okay. And the second question is, have we planned for any new launches in the laundry segment, as the segment contribution in FY23 had almost doubled on a YOY basis?
So nothing specific we can call out now in terms of the new launches in the laundry space.
No. Okay. So how is that impact of doubling been? I was just trying to understand, because the business has been stagnant in terms of laundry segment over the years, and in 2023 it has taken a upshoot. So that is why I just wanted to understand how have the strategies planned for the same.
So you're talking about the fabric care, you're talking about the laundry business which we have.
Laundry segment.
Yeah, so laundry business has been doing fairly well. It's been consolidating at, this year we have taken a consolidation year, and to remain profitable and not put any drag on the balance sheet or the P&L of the company. So that's more on a stable basis for now.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir, and thank you so much for taking my questions. So most of my questions have been answered. So I would just like to ask, what kind of macro environment or any kind of risk that you see, that can, hamper us, something on those lines that, maybe we need to be careful about, or something on those lines? Hello.
So, see, business is always dynamic, and we can plan for certain things. But if you're asking me what could be the unknown things can always be in the macro on the input prices. We all got a lot of surprises in the last 1 to 2 years. There'll always be competitive actions which we have to work on it. And so those are the things. And rest assured, if there are other challenges which come through, we will work through them.
Okay, so that's good to hear. And another question I just want to ask, sir, across our all categories, sir, would we have similar margins, or there would be some premium segments that would be giving higher margins, or whose more volume growth would help us get more margins, or it's nearly standard across the category?
Margins do vary varies between different categories. For all reasons, we have to grow all the categories, all the brands, and that's how we have a well-diversified portfolio, we have been benefiting out of it. So, yeah.
Okay. Answer this one last final question, sir. So on a longer term, do we think we can maintain our revenue growth of, volume-led revenue growth of double digits over the next maybe 3 years, or how would that just, what kind of outlook do you see for that part, a longer term outlook?
So we will definitely aim to have a growth which is better than the market or the industry growth, and it will be led by few macros, some specific company initiatives, and we should be able to grow at those levels in the future as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That answers all my questions, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers. So my question is with regards to, your margin guidance being 15 to 16% band versus, the 17% that we have clocked in Q1. Now, if we extrapolate this for the rest of the 9 months, this would mean, approximately 200 bits kind of a decline from the current levels. So just wanted to understand, is there any investments, especially in A&P, that is planned? or is just the passing on of the input prices to the consumers by way of better grammage, etc., which could, you know, lead to some contraction in the margins going ahead?
Yeah, so Gaurav, it will be combination of both and few other things which we cannot plan. And being in the first quarter, it is better to work with that side of caution. And as I said earlier also, we would rather invest in behind our brands and grow our franchise. I think that will be more sustainable and better for the for all the brands.
So, sir, any guidance that you could give in terms of, you know, the A&P spends that you expect for the for FY 2024 or maybe years beyond, that is sustainable A&P that you look for to target?
Gaurav, sorry, your line is little bad. I can't understand anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sir, I said that, you know, for the A&P, if you can give any guidance, not only for FY 2024, but maybe on a sustainable basis, what you would be targeting ahead.
So as we've been spending 7%-8% of our top line on A&P spends, for now, we'll continue to do that in that range, and we'll evaluate it in the future, depending on how the overall situation is.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kunal Thanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Okay, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had two questions. One was on our pricing strategy. When we look at our price, you know, product prices of our key products, they are very similar to the category leaders in the respective segments. Wanted to understand, you know, being, you know, the challenger brand in the segments that we are present in, how do we look at our pricing strategy from a longer term perspective? That is point number one. And second is on, you know, with being net cash now and, you know, a strong cash flow generation, what would be our capital allocation, you know, policy from here on? These are my two questions.
Yeah. So on pricing strategy, you're right, we are at par with competition, and in most places, and in some cases, we are even premium to the competition. So that's backed by a good set of, you know, differentiation and quality that we offer to the consumer. Only if the consumer likes it, will they do a repeat purchase, and hence, and so far, we've been successful. It's the differentiation, the positioning, and the quality that that is, you know, that makes us compete even after being a challenger brand.
And on the net cash position, you know, post the dividend payout, we'll rather conserve the cash, and on the capital allocation, we'll figure out what is the best for all the stakeholders as we move along.
Sure, sure. And any, like, any insights on what are the different, you know, modes of using capital, you know, that we at the board level are considering?
So, I mean, there can be various limited options which are available. Obviously, one is dividend and other ways, and the other could be in case if we find, you know, inorganic, but those are too premature at this point of time. It has to be decided depending on the situation. And, as I said, this will be a discussion for our board to evaluate sometime in the Q3, Q4, and we'll keep you posted on that.
Sure. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Naysar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question. My first one is on, you know, how has, what is the share of rural, and, you know, can you give some outlook, on the rural side of the demand?
So for both, I mean, see, rural, the impact of inflation has been much higher than the urban. And as inflation has been receding, therefore, the growth, what we are seeing in rural is sort of coming back. And we as an organization, we have product portfolios meeting rural demand as well. And the focus on low unit packs, we have been early on to capture on that, focusing on our rural distribution. So I think these are the areas how we are driving our rural growth.
So if you could give some numbers to it, either in terms of growth or what is the mix between rural versus urban?
Yeah, so urban has been broadly 60% and rural has been 40%. And the growth rates would vary at different point of time, but both doing well.
Got it. And second question goes on, you know, obviously your strength is, you know, in the north, in the south, in the east maybe. I just want to understand on the north and west, how is the growth rate been in this quarter? Is it at par of the company level or higher or lower?
So in no specific comments I can give you. As an organization, we have reported our numbers and we are doing well.
But if I could just ask, like, you know, from a growth perspective going ahead, specifically north and west, because we are underrepresented there, if you could give either directionally what is the share or what is the growth like, either for this quarter or how do you see it in the future?
So, sir, it's difficult to pinpoint each brand and each geography. But as I said, obviously the efforts of the organization is to grow across pan-India and we will do that.
Got it. And last question is on the personal care portfolio. You know, we grew about 20% this quarter. So, were there price action driven, and how should we look at that for the rest of the year?
Well, so there has been some price action also there in means the price increases which had taken place are still there in the this quarter. But as Jyoti mentioned earlier, the brand, the original green Margun soap has done well, and that has been the prime driver for the group.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Piyush Khandelwal from Bank of India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity.
We are not able to hear you clearly. Please use your handset mode.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand, as you mentioned in the presentation, that LUPs are gaining more acceptance in rural market. What was the contribution, let's say, in FY23 in overall volume terms? If you can just broadly highlight that, and let's say what was it 2-3 years back?
So, sir, it has been in the range of around 25 to 30%, and that's doing well. I mean, in the rural markets. So that's the range of around 25 to 30%.
And it was same in, let's say, two to three years back. The contribution was same.
It was marginally lesser, and as we speak now, it is around 25 to 30%.
Got it. And I just wanted to ask more on this distribution side. So right now you reach around 2.8 million outlets, out of that around 1.1, 1.2 million outlet direct reach. If I look at, let's say, other FMCG majors, all of them reach somewhere around, I mean, upwards of 5 to 6 million outlets. This is total GT reach, including both direct and indirect. So, I mean, just wanted to understand what would be your universe where you can potentially reach, including both direct and indirect, over, let's say, next couple of years. Just wanted to understand the universe for your category.
See, the universe is, as we, the universe is large, as you know. But just growing or reaching to that large number by adding manpower and using technology, that is one part of it. But then also the other part, which is media investment, everything has to go hand in hand. So we are doing, we have to invest behind the brands, have a manufacturing capabilities, supply chain, everything has to go hand in hand, and this is what currently we are working, so that whatever aspirations we have on our growth are fulfilled from all the sides.
All right. So, I mean, that kind of potential is there for you as well. I mean, maybe 5-6 million outlets.
I can hear you, sir.
What I'm trying to understand that the potential is, let's say, same for you guys, which other FMCG majors are reaching, maybe upwards of 5-6 million outlets.
But definitely, we will aim to grow to larger numbers from where we are, but difficult for me to give you a number. Internally, yes, there are targets for the sales team and for our business teams to drive that. But we will reach based on the investments we make. There are resource challenges which should always be there to grow only in one line. We have to invest behind all the channels or all the business lines.
All right. And out of this, let's say 2.8 million outlets, this is, let's say, uniformly distributed across the categories, or some categories are under-penetrated within this 2.8 million and some categories are over-indexed?
2.8 is, say, a Gala Supreme that is available in 2.8 million outlets. So different brands will be at different touch points.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon. Sanjay and Jyoti, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations. Sir, I have few questions. If I refer the commentary from the market leader, there was a lot of word around competition. However, in discussion so far, nothing you have said about competition. Generally, my understanding is that when the raw material inflation subsides, the regional and local competition comes back. So I just wanted to have two questions on the detergent part of the business. Have you taken any price cuts? And do you really see a competition angle in the southern markets where we are strong?
Sir, competition will always be there, and we don't want to look at competition. We've been growing handsomely in all the segments that we are present, and our aim will be to continue that. While there were competition even in the past, but our focus is on ourselves. It's to grow our brands, and whatever it takes, how the market behaves, we will also, have strategies to, to fight that. So for us right now, our strategy has been giving us results, and we'll continue to focus on that. Only.
That's helpful. But have you taken any pricing action towards downside?
Yes, it's a mixed kind of a thing. Yes, in some, and so it's a mixed thing, not in all.
Okay. that's helpful. Would you comment the specific growth in Henko versus Mr. White and other part of the business, say, Super?
No, we wouldn't want to give that separately.
No, I'm saying within these three brands, because these are more dominant, except Mr. White, which part of the segment is growing faster? That's what I wanted to check. I mean, you have...
No, for us all. For us, it's a completely new canvas. For us, all of our brands are firing.
Okay. My second question on Margo. Historically, we are a very strong brand in the eastern part, and now I'm seeing we have made an attempt to get into the northern belt, and we are also seeing that there is a variation. So is that we are losing the Ayurvedic properties and trying to get a mass end of the Margo? I mean, I wanted to understand what is the strategy we want to deploy in Margo, because some time back we also had the hand wash and we tried to get into the further segmentation in the Margo.
See, in Margo, our original name, which is the original soap that has been doing well for us, and it's not an Ayurvedic soap; it's a herbal soap or a natural soap in that sense, because it's the main ingredient there is neem. We have never said that we are an Ayurvedic soap, so that is one. Second is the varianting is more a premium varianting. It's not a mass varianting. So the three new variants are premiumly priced compared to the original name. And because it is from Margo, the house of Margo, Each of those variants carry the neem signature, and that's more to appeal to the younger audience. So that's the thing, the Margo loyalists have always been there. They have appreciated the soap and they continue to do so. And for us, we have grown other than East as well. And we would want to have a national footprint on that brand.
Okay. Specifically on HI, we have made a lot of attempts to get the liquid and the placement of the product. What is the contribution in quarter one between, say, coil versus liquids or coil versus non-coil?
So it's around 60-40. 60 is coils and 40 is liquids.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Sanjay, and all the best to you and the team.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Senthil Manikandan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead. This is Senthil Manikandan. Please go ahead with your question. Since there is no response, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Abhijit Kundu from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a great set of numbers. I had two questions. One was, there has been some correction, very recent correction that has been seen in soda ash as well, which has a impact on your fabric care business. So have we seen any, benefit of that coming in? Because this quarter, still, you would be having older stock and it could come in the next quarter, I mean, in the quarters ahead. So what is the reading on that?
Yes, Abhijit, these prices are volatile and now and then you see them going up and down. So with the prices, as you mentioning, yes, there's been some slight correction off late also. So we'll see the benefit in next 2 to 3 months, depending on the stock levels what we have.
Okay. And my second question was on your dishwash business. So that is a business which was earlier going in mid-teens and on a very consistent basis. Now it has grown by 11%, which is a decent growth. But aspirationally, you would be looking at a 13 to 15% growth, right? I mean, what is the overall view there and what would go into it to drive that kind of growth?
Abhijit, I missed the first part of it. Which category did you mention?
Dishwash.
Okay. Could you just repeat again?
So I said that dishwash, you were going at a very strong rate. Now also you have grown at a healthy rate of 11%. But, this is a category where the penetration levels relatively are still lower. And so what would be your aspirational growth? And because this should grow at about 30 to 15%. It is one of your, most important categories other than fabric care. So what is the aspirational, targeted growth there in dishwash, and what are the initiatives that you are taking to drive growth?
Yeah, so both our brands, Exo and Pril, has done well for us, and we have also increased the market share there. And our aim is definitely to grow in double digits, which will remain. Continuous distribution efforts are also happening at the same time. So all of these efforts are there. That will continue. While rural and your small SKUs and all of that will, contribute even in the future. Our eyes on the ball on that.
Okay. Has there been any, generally any moderation in the dishwash as a category? I mean, has that happened in the last, say, 2 years? When we look at the pre-COVID level versus now?
Yes, COVID time definitely it had spiked up. I think most of them sitting at home and making new recipes and cleaning it definitely had spiked up the usage of dishwash. But for us, we got new consumers as well. They have tried our brands, they have stuck to us, and we see the benefits of that coming even now. And we have a lot of marketing activities and
a few other plans already in place to see that, you know, that category delivers continuously for us.
Okay, thanks. That's all.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amish Thakkar from Singular Gov India Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Congratulations on
it. Sir, please use your handset.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations to the entire team on excellent set of numbers. I just want to understand, within your direct distribution of 1.1 million outlets, is there any coverage of pharmacy as a channel, especially for household insecticide? I don't know what is the salience for competition and category as a whole. And even you have, within personal care, you have a very small contribution coming from toothpaste and deodorants, I think, from Neem Active and Fast. So is there a channel that you focused on historically, and any thoughts going forward?
So as of now, our pharmacy contribution is way less. It's largely the Kirana and the general stores that we are focused on. While in future, yes, while we have very small contribution, but we would be, you know, increasing that as and when we have few other launches as well.
Okay, so any other launches that could be relevant to that channel, anything in the pipeline?
No comments on that. Yes, as and when those things will happen, it will we'll definitely explore that channel more than what it is right now.
Sure. And we've seen a lot of, you know, action happening, you know, from some of the larger competitors, you know, acquiring smaller D2C brands. Now, that may not be relevant for fabric care and dishwash for you, where there are the salience of e-commerce and D2C is very small. But within personal care, have you seen any acquisition opportunities, you know, going back to the capital allocation policy of the company? Is there an area where you've evaluated any D2C brands, or is that a focus going forward?
Yeah, so nothing is specific on the cards for now. And something like opportunity comes in, we'll definitely evaluate.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Senthil Manikandan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, and congrats to the entire team for a good set of numbers. My first question is respect to the distribution. So last year in the annual report, you mentioned we've grown by around 10%, right? Around 100,000 units outlets. So you can give some color in which part of the region we are growing on the higher rate, or it's across Pan India. That's my first question.
Yeah. So it, the distribution, we are concentrating on an all India basis, and we are expanding across all the zones.
And second related question is that what could be the potential to expand the distribution over the next, say, 2-3 years? I think even in the morning in the AGM, you mentioned that the goal is to focus on execution and scale up the business. So from 1.1 million outlets, let's say like 3-5 years down the line, what could be the aspiration and size of the business?
See, we have big aspirations right now. We won't put any number to it, but yes, we've been growing the last few years. Our distribution has been growing steadily. We would continue to do that, and you'll see a few additions coming in that way.
And just on the innovation side, since we have a strong balance sheet now, in which categories will we be focusing higher on the any particular categories?
No, as in we have innovations lined up across across the categories that we are present, but we'll be launching it. You know, we'll be concentrating on that as and when the opportunity comes, and it'll always be backed by investments. So hence, we'll pick and choose which category we would want to push forward, yeah.
Okay. Just the last question is on the fabric care side. So we have mentioned that you have like 20% market share in the Mudala data, that's in Kerala. So next 2-3 years, can we give some color on expansion into other states?
Yeah, we will be. We will evaluate the market, whichever market the brand Ujala is strong. But if you see in the country, our country is more of a mass powder consumption market. There are few states where you know, the mid price also does well. So we will evaluate that and we will you know, launch it when the opportunity comes there.
All the best and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for attending this call, and I hope we have answered most of your questions and queries. If you still have any further queries, you can reach out to us. We would be happy to address them all. And thank you, Karan and the team at ISEC, for organizing this conference call. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.